from these barbarians. Tally coughed once more. I guess I want to escape. The boss smiled. Good. I'm sick of running. Sick of losing my hair too and being short-sighted. I've done my bit, and you look pretty fast. He handed her the duffel bag. It was heavy, but Tally had grown stronger since she'd come to the smoke. Magazines were nothing compared with scrap metal. She thought of the first day she had arrived there, seeing a magazine for the first time in the library, realizing with horror what humanity had once looked like. The pictures had made her sick that first day, and now, here she was ready to save them. Here's the plan, the boss said. I'll go first, and when that special grabs me, I'll give her a face full of pepper. You run straight and fast and don't look back. Got that?
Yeah.
With any luck, we might both make it, though I wouldn't mind a facelift. Ready? Tally pulled the bag farther up on her shoulder. Let's go. One, two... The boss paused. Oh, dear. There's a problem, young lady.
What?
You haven't got any shoes.
Tally looked down. In her confusion, she had stumbled barefoot out of the bunkhouse. The packed dirt of the smoke compound was easy enough to walk on, but in the forest?
You won't make it 10 meters, kid.
The boss pulled the duffel bag away from her and handed her the plastic container.
Now get going.
But I, Tally said, I don't want to go back to the city.
Yes, young lady, and I wouldn't mind getting some decent dental work, but we all have to make sacrifices, starting now.
On the last word, he shoved her out from behind the drum. Tally stumbled forward, utterly exposed in the middle of the street. The roar of a hover car seemed to pass right over her head, and she instinctively ducked, dashing toward the cover of the forest. The special cocked her head toward Tally, calmly folded her arms, and frowned like a teacher spotting littlies playing where they shouldn't. Tally wondered if the pepper would do anything to the woman. If it affected the special like it had Tally, she might still make it into the forest. Even if she was supposed to be the bait. Even if she had no shoes. Even if it turned out David had already been caught and she'd never see him again. The thought unleashed a sudden torrent of anger inside her, and she ran straight at the woman, the container clenched in both hands. A smile broke out on the special's cruel features. A split second before they collided, the special seemed to disappear, slipping out of sight like a coin in a magician's hand. In her next stride, Tally felt something hard connect with her shin, and pain shot up her leg. Her body tumbled forward, hands reaching out to break her fall, the container slipping from her grasp. She hit the ground hard, skidding on her palms. As she rolled through the dirt, Tally glimpsed the special crouching behind her. The woman had simply ducked, invisibly fast, and Tally had tripped over her like some awkward littlie in a brawl. Shaking her head and spitting the dirt out of her mouth, Tally spotted the container just out of reach. She scrambled toward it, but a staggering weight crashed down on her, driving her face first into the ground. She felt her wrists pulled back and bound, hard plastic cuffs cutting into her flesh. She struggled, but couldn't move. Then the awful weight lifted, and a nudge from a boot flipped her over effortlessly. The special stood over her, smiling coldly, holding the container.
Now, now, ugly, the cruel pretty said. You just calm down. We don't want to hurt you, but we will if we have to.
Tally started to speak, but her jaw clenched with pain. It had plowed into the ground where she'd fallen.
What's so important about this? The special asked, shaking the container and trying to peer through its translucent plastic.
Out of the corner of her eye, Tally saw the boss making his way toward the forest. His run was slow and tortured, the duffel bag too heavy for him.
Open it and see, Tally spat painfully.
I will, she said, smiling, but first things first. She turned her attention toward the boss, and her posture suddenly transformed into something animal, crouched and coiled like a cat ready to spring. Tally rolled back onto her shoulders, thrashing out wildly with both feet. Her kick connected with the container, and it popped open, a puff of brownish-green dust spraying out over the special. For a second, a disbelieving expression spread over the woman's face. She made a gagging noise, her whole body shuddering. Then her eyes and fists clamped shut, and she screamed. The sound wasn't human. It cut into Tally's ears like a vibrasaw striking metal, and every muscle in her body fought to get free of the handcuffs, her instincts demanding that she cover her ears. With another wild kick, she rolled herself over and stumbled to her feet, staggering in the direction of the forest. A tickle grew in Tally's throat as the pepper dust dispersed on the wind. She coughed as she ran, eyes watering and stinging until she was half blind. With her hands tied behind her, Tally lurched into the brush, off balance, tumbling to the ground as her bare feet caught on something in the dense vegetation. She struggled forward, trying to drag herself out of sight. Blinking away tears, she saw that the special's inhuman scream had been some kind of alarm. Three more of the cruel pretties had responded. One led the pepper-covered special away at arm's length, and the others approached the forest. Tally froze, the brush barely concealing her. Then she felt a tickle in her throat, a slowly growing irritation. Tally held her breath, closing her eyes, but her chest began to shudder, her body twitching, demanding to expel traces of the pepper from her lungs. She had to cough. Tally swallowed again and again, hoping spit could put out the fire in her throat. Her lungs demanded oxygen, but she didn't dare breathe. One of the specials was only a stone's throw away, scanning the forest with slow back-and-forth sweeps of his head, his eyes searching the dense trees relentlessly. Gradually, painfully, the flame seemed to expire in Tally's chest, the cough dying a quiet death inside her. She relaxed, finally letting out her breath. Over the thunder of hover cars and crackle of burning buildings and sounds of battle, the special somehow heard her soft exhalation. His head turned swiftly, eyes narrowing, and in what seemed like another single motion, he was by her side, a hand on the back of her neck. "You're a tricky one," he said. She tried to answer, but wound up coughing savagely instead, and he forced her face down in the dirt before she could manage another breath. The Rabbit Pen. They marched her to the rabbit pen, where about 40 handcuffed Smokies sat inside the wire fence. A dozen or so specials stood in a cordon around them, watching their captives with empty expressions. By the entrance to the compound, a few rabbits hopped aimlessly, too addled by their sudden freedom to make a break for it. The special who had captured Tally took her to the end farthest from the gate, where a handful of Smokies with bloody noses and black eyes were clustered. "Armed resistor," he said to the two cruel pretties who guarded this end of the pen, and shoved her down to the ground among the others. She stumbled and fell onto her back, where her weight stretched the cuffs painfully across her wrists. When she struggled to turn over, a foot planted itself into her back and pushed her up. For a moment, she thought the shoe belonged to a special, but it was one of the other Smokies, helping her up the only way he could. She managed to sit up, cross-legged. The wounded Smokies around her smiled grimly, nodding encouragement. "Tally," someone hissed. She struggled to turn toward the voice. It was Croy. A cut over his eye bleeding down onto his cheek, one side of his face covered with dirt. He scooted himself a bit closer. "You resisted?" he said. "Huh, guess I was wrong about you." Tally could only cough. Traces of the burning pepper seemed stuck in her lungs, like the embers of a fire that wouldn't go out. Tears still streamed from her eyes. "I noticed you slept through breakfast call this morning," he said. "Then when the specials came, I figured you'd picked an awfully convenient time to disappear." She shook her head, forced words through the cinders in her throat. I was out late with David. That's all. Speaking made her sore jaw ache. Croy frowned. I haven't seen him all morning. Really? She blinked away tears. Maybe he got away. I doubt anyone did. Croy jutted his chin down toward the gate of the pen. A large group of Smokies was on its way, guarded by a squad of specials. Among them, Tally recognized faces from those who'd made a stand at the mess hall. They're just mopping up now, he said. Have you seen Shay? Croy shrugged. She was at breakfast when they attacked, but I lost track of her. What about the boss? Croy looked around. No. I think he got away. He and I made a run together. A dark smile crossed Croy's face. That's funny. He always said he wouldn't mind getting captured. Something about a facelift. Tally managed to smile. But then she thought about the brain lesions that went along with becoming pretty, and a shiver passed through her body. She wondered how many of these captives knew what was going to happen to them. Yeah, the boss was going to give himself up to help me get away, but I couldn't have made it through the forest. Why not? She wriggled her toes. No shoes. Croy raised an eyebrow. You picked the wrong day to sleep late. I guess so. Outside the overcrowded rabbit pen, the new arrivals were being organized into groups. A pair of specials moved through the pen, flashing a reader into the bound Smokey's eyes, taking them outside one by one. They must be separating everyone by city, Croy said. Why? To take us home, he said coldly. Home, she repeated. Just last night, that word had changed its meaning in her mind. And now, home was destroyed. It lay around her in ruins, burning and captured. She scanned the captives, looking for Shay and David. The familiar faces in the crowd were haggard, dirty, crumpled by shock and defeat. But Tally realized that she no longer thought of them as ugly. It was the cold expressions of the specials, beautiful though they were, that seemed horrific to her now. A disturbance caught her eye. Three of the invaders were carrying a struggling figure, bound hand and foot through the pen. They marched straight to the resistor's corner and dumped her onto the ground. It was Shay. Watch this one. The two specials guarding them glanced at the still writhing figure. Armed resistor? One asked. There was a pause. Tally saw that one of the specials had a bruise marring his pretty face. Unarmed, but dangerous. The three left their captive behind, their cruel grace marked with a touch of hurry. Shay, Croy hissed. Shay rolled herself over. Her face was red, her lips puffy and bleeding. She spat, saliva trailing from her mouth to a blood-red glob on the dusty ground. Croy, she managed with a thick tongue. Then her eyes fell on Tally. You. Shay, Croy began. You did this. Her whole body writhed like a snake in its death throes. Stealing my boyfriend wasn't enough. You had to betray the whole Smoke. Tally closed her eyes and shook her head. It couldn't be true. She had destroyed the pendant. The fire had consumed it. Shay, Croy said, calm down. Look at her. She fought them. Are you blind, Croy? Look around you. She did this. Tally took a deep breath and forced herself to look at Shay. Her friend's eyes burned with hatred. Shay, I swear to you, I never... Her voice faltered. Who else could have led them here? I don't know. We can't blame each other, Shay, Croy said. It could have been anything. A satellite image. A scouting mission. A spy. Will you look at her, Shay? Croy cried. She's tied up, like us. She resisted. Shay slammed her eyes shut and shook her head. The two specials with the eye reader had reached the resistor's corner of the pen. One stood back while the other stepped forward warily. We don't want to hurt you, she announced, but we will if we have to. The cruel pretty grabbed Croy's chin and flashed the reader in his eye. She looked at its readout.
Another one of ours, she said.
The other special raised an eyebrow.
Didn't know we had so many runaways.
The two hauled Croy to his feet and marched him toward the largest group of Smokies outside. Tally bit her lip. Croy was one of Shay's old friends, so these two specials were from her own city. Maybe all the invaders were. It had to be a coincidence. This couldn't be her fault. She'd seen the pendant burn.
So you've got Croy on your side too now, I see, Shay hissed.
Tears began to fill Tally's eyes, but not from the pepper this time.
Look at me, Shay.
He suspected you from the beginning, but I told him every time, no, Tally's my friend. She'd never do anything to hurt me.
Shay, I'm not lying.
How did you change Croy's mind, Tally? The same way you changed David's?
Shay, I never meant for that to happen.
So where were you two last night? Tally swallowed, trying to hold her voice steady.
Just talking. I told him about my necklace.
That took all night? Or did you just decide to make your move before the specials came? One last game with him. With me.
Tally lowered her head.
Shay. A hand grabbed her chin and forced it up. She blinked and a dazzling red light flashed. The special looked at the device closely.
Hey, it's her.
Tally shook her head. No.
The other special looked at the readout, nodding confirmation.
Tally Youngblood?
She didn't answer. They lifted her to her feet and dusted her off.
Come with us. Dr. Cable wants to see you immediately.
I knew it, Shay hissed. No!
They pulled Tally toward the gate of the pen. She twisted her head around to look back, trying to think of words that would explain. Shay glared up at her from the ground, bloody teeth gritted, her eyes falling to Tally's bound wrists. A second later, Tally felt the pressure release, and her hands popped apart. The specials had cut her handcuffs.
No, she said softly.
One of the specials squeezed her shoulder. Don't worry, Tally. We'll have you home in no time.
The other chimed in. We've been looking for this bunch for years.
Yeah, good work. In case of damage. They took her to the library. It had been transformed into a headquarters for the invasion. The long tables filled with portable work screens manned by specials. Its usual quiet replaced by a buzz of clipped exchanges and commands. The razor voices of the cruel pretties set Tally's teeth on edge. Dr. Cable waited at one of the long tables. Reading an old magazine, she seemed almost relaxed, at a remove from the activity around her.
Ah, Tally.
She bared her teeth in an attempt at a smile.
Nice to see you. Sit down.
Tally wondered what was behind the doctor's greeting. The specials had treated Tally like an accomplice. Had some signal from the pendant reached them before she had destroyed it? In any case, her only chance of escape was to play along. She pulled out a chair and sat down.
Goodness, look at you, Dr. Cable said. For someone who wants to be a pretty, you're always such a sight.
I've had a rough morning.
You seem to have been in a scrape.
Tally shrugged. I was just trying to get out of the way.
Indeed.
Dr. Cable placed the magazine face down on the table.
That's something you don't seem to be very good at.
Tally coughed twice, the last bit of pepper leaving her lungs.
I guess not.
Dr. Cable glanced at her work screen.
I see we had you among the resistors.
Some of the Smokies already suspected me, so when I heard you guys coming, I tried to get out of town. I didn't want to be around when everyone realized what was happening, in case they got mad at me.
Self-preservation. Well, at least you're good at something.
I didn't ask to come here.
No, and you took your time, too. Dr. Cable leaned back,
making a steeple of her long, thin fingers. "How long have you been here, exactly?" Tally forced herself to cough again, wondering if she dared lie. Her voice, still harsh and uneven from inhaling the pepper, wasn't likely to give her away. And although Dr. Cable's office back in the city might be one big lie detector, this table and chair were solid wood, without any tricks inside. But Tally hedged. "Not that long."
"You didn't get here as quickly as I'd hoped."
"I almost didn't make it at all. And when I did, it was ages after my birthday. That's why they suspected me."
Dr. Cable shook her head.
"I suppose I should have been worried about you. Out in the wild all alone. Poor Tally."
"Thanks for your concern."
"I'm sure you would have used the pendant if you'd gotten into any real trouble, self-preservation being your one skill."
Tally sneered. "Unless I'd fallen off a cliff, which almost happened."
"We still would have come for you. If the pendant had been damaged, it would have sent a signal automatically."
The words sunk in slowly. "If the pendant had been damaged." Tally gripped the edge of the table, trying not to show any emotion. Dr. Cable narrowed her eyes. She might not have machines to read Tally's voice and heartbeat and sweat, but her own perceptions were alert. She'd chosen the words to provoke a reaction.
"Speaking of which, where is it?"
Tally's fingers went to her neck. Of course, Dr. Cable had noticed the pendant's absence immediately. Her questions had been leading to this moment. Tally's brain raced for an answer. The handcuffs were off. She had to get out of there, to the trading post. Hopefully, her hoverboard still lay on the roof, unfolded, charging in the morning sun.
"I hid it," she said. "I was scared."
"Scared of what?"
"Last night, after I was sure this was really the smoke, I activated the pendant. But they have this thing that detects bugs. They found one on my board, the one you put there without telling me."
Dr. Cable smiled, spreading her hands helplessly.
"That almost blew the whole thing," Tally continued. "So after I activated the pendant, I got scared they'd known a transmission had been sent. I hid it, in case they came looking."
"I see. A certain amount of intelligence sometimes accompanies a strong sense of self-preservation. I'm glad you decided to help us."
"Like I had a choice?"
"You always had a choice, Tally. But you made the right choice. You decided to come here and find your friend, to save her from a life of being ugly. You should be happy about that."
"I'm thrilled."
"So pugnacious, you uglies. Well, you'll be growing up soon."
A chill went down Tally's spine at the words. To Dr. Cable, growing up meant having your brain changed.
"There's just one more thing you have to do for me, Tally. Do you mind getting the pendant from where you've hidden it? I don't like to leave loose ends lying around."
Tally smiled. "I'd be happy to."
"This officer will accompany you."
Dr. Cable lifted a finger, and a special appeared at her side.
"And just to keep you safe from your smoky friends, we'll make it look like you've been a brave resistor."
The special pulled Tally's hands together behind her back, and she felt plastic bite into her wrists again. She took a breath, her pulse pounding in her head, then forced herself to say, "Whatever." "This way." Tally led the special toward the trading post, taking in the situation. The smoke had been beaten into silence. Fires were left to burn freely. Some were already exhausted, clouds of smoke still rising from the blackened wood and swirling through the camp. A few faces turned to look with suspicion at Tally. She was the only smoky still walking around. Everyone else was on the ground, handcuffed and under guard, most of them gathered near the rabbit pen. She tried to give those who saw her a grim smile, hoping they noticed that she was handcuffed just like they were. When they reached the trading post, Tally looked up.
"I hid it on the roof."
The special eyed the building suspiciously.
"All right, then," he said. You wait here. Sit down and don't stand up.
She shrugged, kneeling carefully. The special swung himself onto the roof with an ease that made Tally shiver. How was she going to overcome this cruel pretty? Even if her hands weren't tied, he was bigger, stronger, faster.
A moment later, his head stuck out over the edge. Where is it?
Under the rapchuk.
The what?
The rapchuk. You know, the old-fashioned thingy where the roofline connects with the abersnatch.
What the hell are you talking about?
It's smoky slang, I guess. Let me show you.
A fleeting expression crossed the special's impassive face. Annoyance mixed with suspicion. But he leaped down again and stacked a couple of crates. He jumped onto them and pulled Tally up, sitting her up on the edge of the roof as if she weighed nothing.
You touch one of those hoverboards, I'll put you on your face, he threatened casually.
There's hoverboards up here?
He leaped past her and hauled her onto the roof.
Find it.
No problem.
She walked gingerly up the slanted roof, exaggerating the difficulty of balancing without her hands. The solar cells of the recharging hoverboards were blindingly bright in the sun. Tally's board lay too far away, on the other side of the roof, and it was unfolded into 8 sections. Folding it back up would take a solid minute. But Tally saw one nearby, Croy's maybe, that had only been unfolded once. Its light was green. 1 kick to close it, and the board would be ready to fly. But Tally couldn't fly with her hands bound. She'd fall off on the first turn. She took a deep breath, ignoring the part of her brain that saw only the distance to the ground. As long as the special was fast and strong as he seemed.
I'm wearing a bungee jacket, she lied to herself. Nothing can possibly happen.
Tally let her bare feet trip and tumbled down the slope. The rough shingles battered Tally's knees and elbows as she rolled, letting out a cry of pain. She fought to stay on the roof, her feet scrambling against the wood to slow herself down. Just as she reached the edge, an iron grip fastened onto her shoulder. She rolled off into space, the ground looming below. But Tally jerked to a halt, her arm wrenching in its socket, and she heard the special's razor voice curse. She swung for a moment, her fall arrested, then they both started to slip. She could hear the special's fingers and feet scrabbling for purchase. However strong he might be, there was nothing for him to hold on to. Tally was going to fall, but at least she was going to take him with her. Then a grunt came from the special, and Tally felt herself being pulled up in a mighty heave. She was thrown back onto the roof, and a shadow passed over her. Something hit the ground below. The special had thrown himself off the roof to save her. She rolled up into a crouch, stood, and lifted half of Croy's hoverboard with 1 foot, flipping it closed. A noise came from the edge of the roof, and Tally stepped away from Croy's board. The special's fingers appeared, then his body swung into view. He was completely unhurt.
Are you okay? She asked. Wow, you guys are strong. Thanks for saving me.
He looked at her coolly. Just get what we came for, and try not to kill yourself.
Okay.
Tally turned, managed to get a foot tangled on a shingle, and teetered again. The special had her in his arms in a second. Finally, she heard real anger in his voice.
You uglies are so incompetent.
Well, maybe if you could... Even before it was out of her mouth, she felt the pressure on her wrists disappear. She brought her hands around in front, rubbing her shoulders. Ow, thanks.
Listen, he said, the razors in his cruel voice sharper than ever. I don't want to hurt you, but...
You will if you have to. Tally smiled. He was standing in exactly the right place.
Just get whatever Dr. Cable wants, and don't you dare touch one of those hoverboards.
Don't worry, I don't have to, she said, as she snapped the fingers of both hands as loudly as she could. Croy's hoverboard jumped into the air,
knocking the special's feet out from under him. The man rolled off the roof again, and Tally leaped onto the board. Run. Tally had never ridden a hoverboard barefoot before. Young Smokies had all kinds of competitions, carrying weights or riding double, but no one was ever that stupid. She almost fell off on the first turn, zooming down a new path they'd spiked with scrap metal only a few days before. The moment the board banked, her dirty feet skidded across the surface, spinning her halfway around. Her arms flailed wildly, but somehow Tally kept her footing, shooting across the compound and over the rabbit pen. A ragged cheer rose up below as the captives below saw her fly past and realized that someone was making an escape. Tally was too busy staying on board to glance down. Regaining her balance, Tally realized she wasn't wearing crash bracelets. Any fall would be for real. Her toes gripped the board, and she vowed to take the next turn more slowly. If the sky had been cloudy this morning, the sun wouldn't have burned the dew off Croy's board yet. She'd be lying in a crumpled heap in a pen, probably with a broken neck. It was lucky she, like most young Smokies, slept with her belly sensor on. Already, the whine of hover cars taking off came from behind. Tally knew only two ways out of the smoke by hoverboard. Instinctively, she headed for the railroad tracks, where she worked every day. The valley dropped behind her, and she managed to make the tight turn onto the whitewater stream without falling off. With no knapsack and her heavy crash bracelets missing, Tally felt practically naked. Croy's board wasn't as fast as hers, and it didn't know her style. Riding it was like breaking in new shoes, while running for your life. Over the water, spray struck her face, hands, and feet. Tally knelt, grasping the edge of the board with wet hands, flying as low as she dared. Down here, the spray might make it even harder to ride, but the barrier of trees kept her invisible. She dared a glance backward. No hover cars had appeared yet. As she shot down the winding stream, swerving through the familiar hard turns, Tally thought of all the times she and David and Shay had raced each other to the worksite. She wondered where David was. Back in camp, bound and ready to be taken to a city he'd never seen before? Would he have his face filed down and replaced by a pretty mask, his brain turned into whatever mush the authorities decided would be acceptable for a former renegade raised in the wild? She shook her head, forcing the image from her mind. David hadn't been among the captured resistors. If he'd been caught, he definitely would have put up a fight. He must have escaped. The roar of a hover car passed overhead, the shockwave of its passage almost throwing Tally from the board. A few seconds later, she knew it had spotted her, its screaming turn echoing through the forest as it cut back to the river. Shadows passed over Tally as she glanced up to see two hover cars following her, their blades shimmering as bright as knives in the mid-morning sun. The hover cars could go anywhere, but Tally was limited by her magnetic lifters. She was trapped on the route to the railroad. Tally remembered her first ride out to Dr. Cable's office, the violent agility of the hover car with its cruel, pretty driver. In a straight line, they were much faster than any board. Her only advantage was that she knew this path backward and forward. Fortunately, it was hardly a straight line. Tally gripped the board with both hands and jumped from the river to the ridgeline. The cars disappeared into the distance, overshooting as she skimmed the iron vein. But Tally was out in the open now, the plains spreading out below her as huge as ever. She noticed fleetingly that it was a perfect day, not a cloud in the sky. Tally lay almost flat to cut down wind resistance, coaxing every ounce of speed from Croy's board. It didn't look like she'd make it to the next cover before the two cars had swung around. She wondered how they planned to capture her. Use a stunner? Throw a net?
simply bowl her over with their shockwaves? At this speed and without crash bracelets, anything that knocked Tally off the board would kill her. Maybe that was just fine with them. The scream of their blades came from her right, louder and louder. Just before the sound reached her, Tally dragged herself into a full hover skid, her momentum crushing her down into the board. The two hover cars shot past ahead, missing by a mile, but the wind of their passage spun her around in circles. The board flipped over and then back upright, Tally hanging on with both arms as the world spun wildly around her. She regained control and urged it forward again, bringing it back to full speed before the hover cars could turn back around. The specials might be faster, but her hoverboard was more maneuverable. As the next turn drew near, the hover cars were headed straight for her, moving slower now, their pilots realizing that at top speed, they would overshoot her every time. Let them try to fly below tree level, though. Now, riding on her knees, gripping the board with both hands, Tally twisted into the next turn, dropping to skim just above the cracked dirt of the dry creek bed. She heard the whine of the hover cars steadily build. They were tracking her too easily, probably using her body heat to pick her out among the trees, like the minders back home. Tally remembered the little portable heater she'd used to sneak out of the dorm so many times. If only she had it now. Then Tally remembered the caves that David had shown her first day in the smoke. Under the cold stones of the mountain, her body heat would disappear. She ignored the sound of her pursuers, shooting down the creek bed and across a spur of ore, then onto the river that led to the railroad. She careened along above the water, and the hover car stayed above tree height, patiently waiting for her to run out of cover. As the turnoff to the railroad approached, Tally increased her speed, skimming the water as fast as she dared. She took the turn at full skid and hurtled down the track. The cars swept away down the river. The specials might have expected her to turn off on another river, but the sudden appearance of an old railroad track had surprised them. If she could make it to the mountain before the hover cars completed their slow turns, she would be safe. Just in time, Tally remembered the spot where they had pulled up the track for scrap metal, and angled her board for a stomach-wrenching moment of freefall, soaring over the gap in a high arc. The lifters found metal again, and 30 seconds later, she came to a skidding halt at the end of the line. Tally jumped from the hoverboard, turned it around, and gave it a shove back toward the river. Without her crash bracelets to pull it back, the board would drift along the straight line of the railroad until it reached the break, where it would drop to the ground. Hopefully, the specials would think she'd fallen off and start their search back there. Tally crawled up the boulders and into the cave, scrambling back into the darkness. She pulled herself as far as she could go, hoping that the tons of stone overhead would be enough to hide her from the specials. When the tiny aperture of light at the mouth of the cave had shrunk to the size of an eye, Tally dropped to the stone, panting, her hands still shaking from the flight, telling herself again and again that she'd made it. But what had she made it to? She had no shoes, no hoverboard, no friends, not even a water purifier or a packet of spag bol. No home to go back to. Tally was completely alone. "I'm so dead," she said aloud. A voice came out of the dark. "Tally, is that you?" Amazing. Hands grasped Tally's shoulders in the darkness. "You made it." It was David's voice. In her surprise, Tally couldn't speak, but pulled him close, burying her face in his chest. "Who else is with you?" She shook her head. "Oh," David whispered. Then his grip tightened as the cave shuddered around them. The roar of a hover car passed slowly overhead, and Tally imagined the specials' machines searching every crevice in the rock for signs of their prey. Had she led them to David? That would be perfect. Her final betrayal. The low rumble of pursuit passed over them again, and David pulled her deeper into the blackness, down a long, twisting path that grew colder and darker. A stillness settled around her, damp and chill, and Tally imagined again the trainload of dead rusties buried among the stones. They waited in silence for what seemed like hours, holding each other, not daring to speak until long after the sounds of the cars had faded. Finally, David whispered, "What's happening back at the smoke?" "The specials came this morning."
"I know. I saw."
He held her tighter. "I couldn't sleep, so I took my board up the mountain to watch the sunrise. They went right over me. 20 hover cars at once coming across the ridge. But what's happening now?" "They put everyone in the rabbit pen, separating us into groups. Croy said they're going to take us all back to our cities."
"Croy? Who else did you see?"
"Shay, a couple of her friends. The boss might have made it out. He and I made a break together."
"What about my parents?"
"I don't know." She was glad for the darkness. The fear in David's voice was painful enough. His parents had founded the smoke, and they knew the secret of the operation. Whatever punishment awaited the other Smokies, it would be 100 times worse for them.
"I can't believe it finally happened," he said softly.
Tally tried to think of something comforting to say. All she could see in the darkness was Dr. Cable's mocking smile.
"How did you get away?" he asked.
She pulled his hands to feel her wrists, where the plastic bracelets of the handcuffs remained. "I cut through these, got up onto the roof of the trading post, and stole Croy's hoverboard."
"With specials guarding you?"
She bit her lip, saying nothing.
"That's amazing. My mother says they're superhuman. Their second operation augments all their muscles and rewires their nervous system. And they're so scary looking. A lot of people just panic the first time they see one."
He held her tighter.
"But I should have known you would escape."
Tally closed her eyes, which made no difference in the utter darkness. She wished they could stay in there forever, never having to face what was outside. "It was just good luck." Tally was amazed that she was lying again, already. If she had only told the truth about herself in the first place, the Smokies would have known what to do with the pendant. They could have attached it to some migratory bird, and Dr. Cable would be on her way to South America, instead of in the library overseeing the destruction of the smoke. But Tally knew she couldn't tell the truth. Not now. David would never trust her again. Not after she destroyed his home, his family. She'd already lost Paris, Shay, and her new home. She couldn't bear to lose David as well. And what good would a confession do now? David would be left alone, and so would she, when they most needed each other. His hands ran across her face.
"You still amaze me, Tally."
She felt herself shudder, the words twisting in her like a knife. In that moment, Tally made a deal with herself. Eventually, she would have to tell David what she had unwittingly done. Not now, but someday, when she'd made things better, fixed part of what she had destroyed. Maybe then he would understand.
"We'll go after them," she said. "Rescue them."
"Who? My parents?" "They came from my city, right? So that's where they'll take them. And Shay and Croy, too. We'll rescue them all." David laughed bitterly.
"Us two? Against a bunch of specials?"
"They won't expect us."
"But how will we find them? I've never been inside a city, but I hear they're pretty big. More than 1 million people."
Tally took a slow breath, once again remembering her first trip out to Dr. Cable's office. The low, dirt-colored buildings at the edge of the city, past the greenbelt and among the factories. the huge, misshapen hill nearby. I know where they'll be.
You what?
David pulled away from their embrace.
I've been there. Special Circumstances Headquarters.
There was a moment of silence.
I thought they were secret. Most of the kids who come out here don't even believe in them.
She went on, quietly horrified that another lie was coming into her head with such ease.
A while ago, I pulled a really bad trick, the kind that gets you special attention.
She rested her head against David, glad she couldn't see his trusting expression.
I snuck into New Prettytown. That's where you live right after the operation, having fun all the time.
I've heard of it. And uglies aren't allowed in, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty serious trick. Anyway, I wore this mask and crashed a party. They almost caught me, so I grabbed a bungee jacket.
Which is?
Like a hoverboard, but you wear it. It was invented for escaping tall buildings in a fire, but new pretties use it mostly for goofing around. So I grabbed one, pulled a fire alarm, and jumped off the roof. It freaked a lot of people out.
Right.
Shay told me the whole story on our way to the smoke, saying you were the coolest ugly in the world, he said. But all I was thinking was that things must be really boring in the city.
Yeah, I guess so.
But you got caught?
Shay didn't mention that.
The lie took form as she spoke, pulling on as many strands of truth as it could reach.
Yeah, I thought I'd gotten away, but they found my DNA or something.
A few days later, they took me to Special Circumstances, introduced me to this scary woman. I think she was in charge there. It was the first time I'd ever seen specials.
Are they really that bad up close?
She nodded in the dark.
They're beautiful, absolutely, but in a cruel, horrible way.
The first time's the worst. They only wanted to scare me, though. They warned me I'd be in big trouble if I ever got caught again, or if I ever told anyone. That's why I never mentioned it to Shay.
That explains a lot.
About what?
About you. You always seemed to know how dangerous it was here in the smoke. Somehow, you understood what the cities were really like, even before my parents told you the truth about the operation. You were the only runaway I ever met who really got it.
Tally nodded. That much was true.
I get it.
And you still want to go back there for my parents and Shay? To risk getting caught? To risk your mind?
A sob broke in her voice.
I have to.
To make it up to you.
David held her tighter, tried to kiss her. She had to turn her face away, tears finally coming.
Tally, you are amazing.
Ruin. They didn't leave the cave until the next morning. Tally squinted in the dawn light, eyes scanning the sky for a fleet of hover cars suddenly rising above the trees. But they hadn't heard any sound of a search all night. Maybe now that the smoke was destroyed, catching the last few runaways wasn't worth the trouble. David's hoverboard had spent the night hidden in the cave and hadn't had any sunlight for a whole day now. But it had just enough charge to get them back up the mountain. They rode to the river. Tally's stomach rumbled after a whole day without food, but the first thing she needed was water. Her mouth was so dry she could hardly talk. David knelt at the bank and dipped his head under the icy water. Tally shivered at the sight. Without a blanket or shoes, she'd frozen in the cave all night long, even huddled in David's arms. She needed warm food in her before she could face anything colder than the morning breeze.
What if the smoke's still occupied? She asked. Where will we get food?
You say they put prisoners in the rabbit pen? Where'd the rabbits go?
All over.
Exactly. They should be everywhere by now. And they aren't hard to catch.
She grimaced. Well, okay, as long as we cook them.
David laughed.
Of course. I've never actually started a fire, she admitted. Don't worry. You're a natural.
He stepped onto his board and held out his hand. Riding double was something Tally had never done before, and she found herself glad she was with David and not just anyone. She stood in front of him, bodies touching, her arms out, his hands around her waist. They negotiated the turns without words, Tally shifting her weight gradually, waiting for David to follow her lead. As they slowly got the hang of it, their bodies began to move together, threading the board down the familiar path as one. It worked, as long as they went slowly, but Tally kept her ears open for sounds of pursuit. If a hover car appeared, a full-speed escape was going to be tricky. They smelled the smoke long before they saw it. From high up the mountain, the buildings had the look of a burned-out campfire, smoking, crumbling, blackened through and through. Nothing moved in the compound, except a few pieces of paper stirred by the wind.
Looks like it burned all night, Tally said.
David nodded, speechless. Tally grasped his hand, wondering what it was like to see your childhood home reduced to a smoking ruin.
I'm so sorry, David, she said.
We have to go down.
I need to see if my parents... He swallowed the words.
Tally searched for signs of anyone remaining in the smoke. It seemed entirely deserted, but there might be a few specials in hiding, waiting for stragglers to reappear.
We should wait.
I can't. My parents' house is on the other side of the ridge. Maybe the specials didn't see it.
If they missed it, Maddie and Az will still be there.
But what if they ran?
Then we'll find them. In the meantime, let's not get caught ourselves.
David sighed.
All right.
Tally held his hand tight. They unfolded the hoverboard and waited as the sun climbed, watching for any sign of a human being below. Occasionally, the embers of the fires flared to life in the breeze, the last standing columns of wood collapsing one by one, crumbling to ash. A few animals rummaged for food, and Tally watched in silent horror as a stray rabbit was taken by a wolf, the short struggle leaving only a patch of blood and fur. This was what was left of nature, raw and wild, only hours after the smoke had fallen.
Ready to go down? David asked after an hour.
No, Tally said, but I never will be.
They approached slowly, ready to turn and fly if any specials appeared. But when they reached the edge of town, Tally felt her anxiety turn to something worse. A horrible certainty that no one remained there. Her home was gone, replaced by nothing but charred wreckage. At the rabbit pen, footprints showed where groups of Smokies had been moved in and out through the gates. A whole community turned into cattle. A few rabbits still hopped around on the dirt.
Well, at least we won't starve, David said.
I guess not, Tally said, although the sight of the smoke had stilled her hunger.
She wondered how David always managed to think practical thoughts, no matter what horrors were in front of him.
Hey, what's that?
In one corner of the pen, just outside the fence, clusters of little shapes lay on the ground. They edged the board closer, David squinting through a drifting wall of smoke.
It looks like... shoes.
Tally blinked. He was right. She lowered the board and jumped off, running to the spot. Tally looked around in amazement. Around her were scattered 20 or so pairs of shoes, in all sizes. She fell to her knees to look closer. The laces were still tied, as if the shoes had been kicked off by people whose hands were bound behind them.
Croy recognized me, she murmured.
What?
Tally turned to David. When I escaped, I flew right over the pen.
Croy must have seen it was me. He knew I didn't have shoes. We joked about it. She imagined the Smokies, helplessly awaiting their fate, making one last gesture of defiance. Croy would have kicked his own shoes off, then whispered to whomever he could, "Tally's free and barefoot." They had left her with a score of pairs to pick from, the only way they could help the one Smokey they'd seen escape. "They knew I'd come back here," her voice faltered. What they didn't know was who had betrayed them. She picked a pair that looked about the right size, with grippy soles for hoverboarding, and pulled them on. They fit, even better than the ones the Rangers had given her. Jumping back on the board, Tally had to hide the pained expression on her face. This is what it would be like from now on. Every gesture of kindness from her victims would only make her feel worse. "Okay, let's go." The hover path wound through the smoking camp, over what streets remained between the charred ruins. Beside a long building, now a little more than a ridge of blackened rubble, David pulled the board to a halt. "I was afraid of this." Tally tried to picture what had stood there. Her knowledge of the smoke had evaporated, the familiar streets reduced to an unrecognizable sprawl of ash and embers. Then she saw a few blackened pages fluttering in the wind. The library. "They didn't take the books out before they..." she cried. "But why?" "They don't want people to know what it was like before the operation. They want to keep you hating yourselves. Otherwise, it's too easy to get used to ugly faces. Normal faces." Tally turned around to look into David's eyes. "Some of them, anyway." He smiled sadly. Then a thought crossed her mind. The boss was running away with some old magazines. Maybe he escaped. "On foot?" David sounded dubious. "I hope so." She leaned, and the board slid toward the edge of town. A blotch of pepper still marked the ground where she had fought the special. Tally jumped off, trying to remember exactly where the boss had escaped into the forest. "If he got away, he must be long gone," David said. Tally pushed her way into the brush, looking for signs of a struggle. The morning sun was streaming through the leaves, and a trail of broken bushes cut into the forest. The boss had been none too graceful, leaving a path like a charging elephant. She found the duffel bag half hidden, shoved under a moss-covered fallen tree. Zipping it open, Tally saw that the magazines were still there, each one lovingly wrapped in its own plastic cover. She slung the bag over her shoulder, glad to have salvaged something from the library, a small victory over Dr. Cable. A moment later, she found the boss. He lay on his back, his head turned at an angle that Tally instantly knew was utterly wrong. His fingers were clenched, the nails bloody from clawing at someone. He must have fought to distract them, maybe to keep them from finding the duffel bag. Or maybe for Tally's sake, having seen that she'd reached the forest too. She remembered what the specials had said to her more than once. "We don't want to hurt you, but we will if we have to." They'd been serious. They always were. She stumbled back out of the forest, stunned, the bag still hanging from her shoulder. "You found something?" David asked. She didn't answer. He saw the expression on her face and jumped down from the board. "What happened?" "They caught him. They killed him." David looked at her, his mouth open. He took a slow breath. "Come on, Tally. We have to go." She blinked. The sunlight seemed wrong, twisted out of shape, like the boss's neck. As if the world had become horribly distorted while she was among the trees. "Where?" she murmured. "We have to go to my parents' house." Maddie and Az. David took the board over the ridge so fast that Tally thought she would tumble off.
She sank her fingertips into David's jacket to steady herself, thankful for the new shoe's grippy soles. "Listen, David. The boss fought them. That's why they killed him,"